Welcome to Aware. We are dedicated to communicating information that inspires your positive growth and change. Are you interested in a peaceful planet? Are you interested in optimal health? Are you living with purpose? Are you enjoying your life? We realize each person can make a difference, and our mission is to empower your awareness. The choices that you make in every moment shape your life, and we encourage you to realize that you have your own answers and to always listen to your own truth. We invite you to stay aware. Welcome to the Aware Show. I am Lisa Garr, and I'm so happy about today's show because I get to do what I love, which is communicating messages that inspire positive growth and change, and do it with really cool people, really fun and cool people. And that's what makes it so good, because I love what I do, and then you get to benefit from all the great love here in the studio, and then everybody transforms and grows. So that's the space that we always set the Aware Show in. And so today I am joined by Michael Tamora. Michael is a healer, a spiritual teacher. I have known Michael most of my adult life. And for some reason, we get together every November, when I tend to start things in my life, Michael shows up. Because he's been my spiritual teacher for a very, very long time. And he shows up when I'm in a state of major transition, which tends to be in November. And it happens cyclically in our lives. So today we're going to be talking about the human experience, the human growth experience, and how we grow spiritually. And then we're going to link this, of course, to our political topic, which requires a lot of healing right now, but in a transformational way. So welcome, Michael. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here. November or any time of the year. But
I know. Isn't it
amazing?
Interesting?
Yeah.
I started the radio show November of 2000. I started my Gaia TV show in a November. I had my child in November, got married in November. Do so many Novembers.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Just the way it works. Yeah. It's awesome. So, okay, let's talk a little bit about this cyclical creation and how we do create events in our lives unconsciously.
And consciously, both, yeah.
So many things would have had to align in the universe for me to have lined all these different things up in November. And
yes,
this, I'm sure, is the same way for many, many people, where they create conscious and unconsciously events in their lives that they don't feel they're responsible for, crises,
yes,
things like that.
Yeah, that's the unconscious part. When you become conscious of it, you're aware. Oh, yes, I created this.
Mm.
You know, I set this up. And why so many people are unconscious of it is that they're looking for a direct cause and effect kind of a relationship. I push this button and the computer goes on. You know, that we're kind of technologically oriented and you think that's how it's supposed to work. Well, sometimes it does. On a technological level, it does. But on a human level, it's before we're born, we set all this up. And if you forget that,
mm-hmm,
then you think it's happening to you.
But why do we forget it?
Well, sometimes we need to forget it because of the lessons we have to learn. If we already know it, we could either go, oh, yeah, that's going to happen. I don't want that to happen, so I'm going to try to change everything.
So we don't get the lesson, really.
Yeah, well, for example, one very difficult situation for any mother, one woman came to me, and she was just, before she said anything, she was in so much entrenched in guilt, pain, and just agony.
Mm.
And I looked, and And immediately I saw it had to do with a daughter that she lost when the daughter was 9 years old. So I asked her, did one of your children die young? And she just started, breaking down. And the story that came out of her was, for any mother, pretty horrific. She wanted to clean the house. She's a very busy woman. Sunday afternoon was the only time she can clean the house. So she's cleaning, mopping the floors and everything. But three kids, the youngest one was her daughter, 9 years old, and they're in the way. They're having fun, but they're in the way. Dad is in the way. So yeah. She goes, okay. She gets her husband to take the kids out for an ice cream cone, summertime. But the youngest girl says, no, I want to stay home with you, Mommy. And she's grabbing onto her dress and, no, go with your daddy. Your brothers are going. I just need half an hour for you guys to be out of here, and then I can finish. When you come back, we'll all be together. Well, she finally reluctantly goes, and they were like two blocks away, get broadsided by a truck. The father and the two brothers, not a scratch.
Oh, my God.
The daughter died instantly.
Oh.
And you can imagine the guilt she was in. Enormous. And when I looked, the daughter was right there as bright as, just the most gorgeous soul. And I described her to this woman, and she goes, that's exactly, and this is what makes it so hard. If she was a, delinquent or something, it might have lessened the blow, but she was just this super incredible kid and just gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And so I told her, no, this was all set up before either of you were born. And the girl's just saying, please tell my mom, this is, she needs to know this. And she couldn't get a parent to take her in. She's such a bright soul. She only needed to do a few things, and she would have been done by the time she's 9 years old, and she needed to leave and go on to a whole different life for her. And otherwise, she'd just be kind of, spinning her wheels. And so to get a soul to agree to be a mother knowingly, well, you're going to die when you're 9 years old. That is a huge commitment.
No mother would ever sign up for that.
Exactly.
Yes.
So, but this mother, as a soul, loved her so much. She says, yes, I will be willing to do this for you. And so she comes in, gets her job done, and she's ready to go. But on a human level, she intuitively knows. That's why she's going, I don't want to go. Don't send me with them, right?
Did this communication help the mother?
Completely, totally changed. The instant I told her this, she knew. But she couldn't. Yeah, she knew inside of herself that this was true, but she couldn't convince herself, or of course to anybody else, that would seem like a escape. Like, I'm denying my responsibility as a mother, and you have to be guilty. It's like survivor's guilt, practically. But the minute I said that to her, she brightened up. She said, I know that's true. I feel it in my heart. I know it's true. Completely changed her life, and she started to be able to get on with her life.
That is amazing. And that's, probably the most extreme example of what we're talking about is how we have predetermined as a soul our lives. And as we know, our soul is eternal.
Yes.
It's been here before. It's going to go somewhere else. It maybe simultaneously can even exist as we're finding out. We'll probably find out more in 100 and so years. So scientifically, if we needed to.
And so I asked her afterwards, I said, would you have done it if you were conscious of that now?
Wow.
And she says, absolutely. I would have done anything to stop her from going in that car. And then she wouldn't have been able to die. She wouldn't have been able to take her really important next step as a soul. And that's what really counts. But sometimes our humanness gets in the way of us being able to fulfill our purpose as the souls that we are.
How can we tell that if we don't have you to communicate to us? How do we learn to listen to that voice inside of ourselves that could be telling us
well,
that?
Well, just like with this mother, she knew. But she just needed somebody to validate it for her. Mm-hmm. What I was saying to her wasn't new to her. She already knew it.
Wow.
But she needed that, you know, she didn't have enough certainty in herself and trust in herself that this is what's going on. Mm. And so this is where we are today. In this world, more than ever, being able to live by intuition, your own intuition, which just, it's not some woo-woo psychic ability. Intuition just means looking within your own being and knowing your own truth living by that.
And I think, you know, most successful people and people in the world know this. To live by your intuition helps you move through the world with more ease and with more flow.
And, yes, more grace.
Yep. And more grace, for sure. But even at the level of feeling your gut and listening to your gut, sometimes it isn't practical to do that. And you listen, you hear the gut saying something, and it makes no sense, so we ignore it.
Yes, a lot of people do that. And it's interesting, you know, you brought up most successful people.
Yeah.
You've interviewed a lot, and yourself, you know.
Yeah.
You have had incredible miracles in your life.
Yeah.
When you followed your intuition, even if everybody else said, no, 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 Lisa, don't do that, or
right,
that would be career suicide or whatever, and you just said, okay, but I know within myself this is true. And the facts and figures sometimes don't support it.
Mm.
But you did it, and that's when the miracle happens, and that's true.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing I hear a lot of people saying and thinking to themselves, oh, well, that's easy for that person to say.
Right.
She's famous, or he's successful. Oh, that's Steve Jobs, or that's Oprah, or whatever. How do you think they got that way?
Mm-hmm.
It's the people who trust that intuition that gets to that place of being able to benefit, not just be successful and make money and be famous, but it's to benefit not only themselves, but a larger community. And that's where intuition comes in.
Mm.
And that's where sometimes the bean counters or the people who are going by the book on, you know, this is the way it's been for 5,000 years and we're going to do it this way. That has to change. And why the resistance is so huge right now is we're at the fulcrum point, the tipping point of this change where it's massive. It's incredibly profound. As a human race, it's not just certain communities. It's a human race. We're changing from, transforming from the human race that's been up to now a body-based intellectual race to a spirit-based intuitive race.
We're going through that transition right now.
Yes.
It's a little rough.
It's a rough. Because it's not a gradual one.
Uh-uh.
You know, we've grown gradually for a long time. But this is like a like the physicists talk about, a quantum leap. There's no in between. It's, we're either going to stay here or we have to take this leap way up here.
Right.
And people are freezing up by the edge of the cliff and going, I can't make this.
There's no bridge here. There's no steps that appear. But as we know, the steps appear along the way right when you need them.
Absolutely. Every
step. Time.
Yep.
Every time. Let's talk about this in a lot of political uncertainty. There's a lot of uncertainty in this country. There's shock for half the people in the country. And they're starting to, you know, hear, you know, lots of fallout in the news. So what do you think the purpose of the entire election process was? Not the process itself.
Well, yes, the process too.
Okay.
It's not just who became the president.
Mm.
It's the whole process. It's not only a wake-up call, but it's like a pop quiz, right? It's in school, we have all had pop quizzes. What's a pop quiz different from a final exam or, you know, a big exam? The big exam, the teacher tells you, okay, next Monday, we're going to have an exam on history or math or whatever. So you prepare for it. And there are people who, because there's going to be exam, I'm going to cram and I didn't study this stuff at all. I don't know anything, but I'm going to cram for the next 3 days. And they ace it, you know, or they pass it at least. But a pop quiz is a way the teacher gets beyond that and says, okay, we'll see who really is practicing this, who knows
absorbing
this.
Absorbing it, yeah.
Absorbing it, learning it. And in the school of real life, a pop quiz is for demonstration. It's not an intellectual, you can spit out the information you crammed last night and memorize. No, it's, can you live it? Are you living it? And if you haven't been living it, but you've been hearing this, you've been studying this, you've been thinking about this, okay, now it's a pop quiz to start to demonstrate that you can live your talk. And you can walk that talk, and you can put your money where your mouth is, kind of a thing. And that's what this election whole process was, is it's a pop quiz. We're all, nobody's exempt from this. It's affecting the whole world. It's not just about America. It's the whole world.
Right.
And everybody's looking at this. And whenever a global event or event that really rattles people around the planet, it's for everybody to look and listen and then to go inside. You have to, instead of mudslinging or becoming even more divisive, it doesn't matter which side, quote unquote, you're on, it's to get off the sides.
Well, I think more people are awake than ever before.
Absolutely.
And awake because they're upset about the process, or awake because they, it doesn't matter. Where we used to think that we didn't have our voice play a part in politics is starting to go away.
Yes, we have a voice, and almost an instant voice with all the social media and everything. And so one of the greatest things that's come about before anything else is communication. Everybody's communicating. Now, the next step, you know, the election's already done. The whole process is done. We can't be hung up on that. We have to look at what's really important is not what's already passed, but what are we going to do next? And so that's the point we're at. And what are we going to do next is you got to take a moment and look within and, okay, communicating, if you're angry, upset, everything, that's great. But don't stay there. You have to move from whatever place your emotional reaction is and step forward.
Well, this has to do a lot with shock.
So
whenever anyone is in a place of shock, you tend to look backwards and say, what happened before this?
Yes.
What happened? Where was I? What happened? I didn't see this coming.
And why?
Yeah, and why? And what could I have done? And if I had only listened to that intuition, I don't think that could have gone through the elections. However, people are still not necessarily thinking that Trump won, too. I mean, they're still going through that. And I think it's a part of the shock process is looking at how could this have happened. So let's take it back into a micro level with our lives. When shocking events happen in our lives, how do we get off of it quickly?
Yes.
And why does it cost us so much to stay in it?
Well, it's incredible. One of my favorite quotes that really describe this process is what Jesus taught his disciples. He said, you know, everybody knows about the knock and the door shall be open, and ask and you shall receive, that part. But what he really said to the disciples was, keep asking, keep seeking until you find. Okay, that's number one. When you find, you'll be disturbed. This is a shock. And when you're disturbed, you'll be amazed. And when you're amazed, you'll reign over all. Isn't that interesting?
That's a great
impression. What happens? People think that if something really incredibly good happens to you, even on a very physical level, like you win the lottery, you know, $168 million lottery, most people would consider that to be a real good luck. I mean, great thing. But what happens? If somebody calls and says, you just won the lottery, you're $168 million richer, what's the first thing that goes through your mind? Oh, what kind of scam is this? Or who are you? I want some proof. You're in shock.
Don't believe that.
You don't believe it. And that's the disturbing part, even when it's a great surprise, you know, wonderful surprise. And so if it's something you consider negative, it's even more of a disturbance. But we have to get through that disturbance. And the reason we don't find, why the first part is keep seeking until you find, is none of us wants to be disturbed.
Right. We want to be happy.
That's right.
Yeah.
So how can I skip being disturbed and find? I can't. Because every time I find, what finding means, what are we seeking for? We're not seeking for the same old, same old. We're seeking what's fundamentally different. Because we all know, okay, I'm a relatively happy person. I have enough money. I have a good house. I have a da-da-da-da-da, a good job, you know, relationship, all that stuff. Even at the best, you know, when you're in that space, you go, but I'm not 100% happy. I mean, I'm not joyous all the time. Most people write that off as impossibility to be live in total joy. And so they go, well, I mean, compared to everybody else, I'm in a great shape. But no, you still get sick. And you can extrapolate and go, one of these days I'm going to die. So what's life about? It's not about, let's get more of this and more of that and more of this and keep going like that. Eventually, everyone comes to that place of, okay, what's really what life is about? Right now, you know, I'm starving, so life is about getting my next meal. Right now, I'm living comfortably, but I'm not wealthy. So life is about getting more of that or whatever. But you keep doing that. And you don't have to be spiritual. You can think it through and you can look at it. Well, there's going to be, is it going to just go like that more and more and more and more? No. Life is about true happiness, true joy. And what is that? You don't notice, you look around the world and you don't see too many people, if any, who are living that.
It seems like we're constantly chasing it.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things I noticed when I was young and I'm looking at relationships and I go, okay, who's got the best relationship that I know of? And I expanded my search, not from starting with my parents and going on, and to historical figures, people I never even met, but I heard about, read about, stuff like that, or even fictional characters. And I go, do I want to have a relationship or a marriage like that? You know, would I step into one of those? Absolutely not.
No. Yeah.
None of them would satisfy where I was at. And so I thought, isn't that interesting? I can't, even if I go to fictional novels, I still can't find relationships that I would go, oh, I'll take that one.
That's sustainable, right?
Yeah. And I go, oh, my goodness, where do you go then?
Uh-huh.
It only leaves you one place. That's inside.
Yeah.
And that's when I went inside and go, oh, yeah, I could have a great relationship with anybody.
Hmm. Can that same topic or concept apply to our political situation?
Absolutely.
How?
Because everybody's, you know, who's upset is upset at who's the president, what that president stands for or said
or
is going to do. And one of the wake-up calls of this whole electoral process has been, okay, how long has the citizenry been going, well, the president's going to do this. Well, once we get the right president, this is all going to change. Somebody else is going to do it. And I'm sure most of your listeners have gone through that on a more of a health level, where it used to be, you know, even just a few decades ago, the doctor's going to cure me.
Right.
And if the doctor can't cure me, then I'm dead. Mm-hmm. You know, it's and now most everybody, especially those who are much more conscious, are going, no, that's, the doctors can't cure you. They can treat you. Their expertise is in, you know, setting bones or giving you the right medication or the surgery or whatever to help you heal yourself. But they're not going to do it for you. And so, but it's still people sue doctors because, oh, you didn't do it for me.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
I paid you and you didn't do it for me. And so, but that same mentality still exists in the political arena in a big way where everybody's going, well, the government sucks or the government didn't do this or the president was lousy or the president should do this. Yes, people in key positions especially need to be able to support and help you get there. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, when you hire a consultant, mm-hmm. you hire them because they're an expert in their field and you need somebody with that expertise because you don't have it. So you have to work together.
This is so many things point to this, this mm-hmm. redirect to self. I mean, you can look at politics, and then if you redirect to yourself, you'll find the answers. If you look at relationships, redirect to yourself, you'll find out where happiness
yes.
is. If you look at healthcare, you redirect to yourself, you'll find your own internal healing. If you look towards the environment, the
yes.
environmental crisis, if you look towards yourself and what you can do, our answers are, of course, all within us. You wrote the book called You Are the Answer. By the way, that is Michael's book if you want to pick it. It's a really amazing book called You Are the Answer by Michael Tamora. And it really redirects us back to self.
Yes.
It was a concept that was a bit ahead of its time. How long ago did you write the book? About 5 years?
Oh, no. I wrote it in the 90s.
Well, just recently got published. So maybe we're starting to catch up in our evolution as a society
yes.
to that concept, not from a selfish perspective.
No.
Totally different.
And I read comments that reflect that all on the Facebook and social media sites ever since the election because people are really owning it and saying, okay, this is where I am at and this is what I'm doing. And it's not mudslinging. Well, there's some of that, of course, but it's people are stepping up and saying, okay, we need to make these changes. And what am I going to do to start to make these changes? Well, when you get to that place, a lot of people tend to still get overwhelmed. What's me? I'm not even famous. I don't have billions of dollars to throw around. Who's going to listen to me? What can I do as an individual? Well, the very first thing, just like you were saying, is bringing it to what's within us. And the thing that has to be for this human transformation to happen from a body-based intellectual race to a spirit-based intuitive race is to really turn intuitively to within ourselves and trust. Okay, I have this answer. Now, from there to putting it into some kind of physical action is where a lot of people are struggling. Well, what is physical action? It's not separate from who we are. People, especially like in this society, in this country, that one's beingness is quite separate oftentimes from one's doing. People do things so that they can be.
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's not like that. It's doing. All doing comes from within one's beingness. Who we are translates into the world we live in. And so, Mahatma Gandhi is one of the ones who said, be the change that you'd like to see.
Yeah.
That's absolutely a great, great,
great
mantra.
Point. Uh-huh.
Yeah, because that's how action happens from within. And this is why there are some of us who our action, nobody notices because it's internal.
Okay? Yeah.
Everything in this world is consciousness, not the product of consciousness. It is the consciousness itself being manifested as things, as action, as situations. And so when you change your consciousness, everything in your life changes. And it's kind of a scary thing for most people because they go, well, I want proof ahead of time. I want to guarantee that if I change my way, things in my life are going to go this way. And it's not going to work that way. It's after you change within, then the things in your life start to change on the outside.
You have been through an enormous amount of shock in your life through 4 heart attacks?
No, it was just 5 deaths.
Oh. Okay.
Only 2 of them were
five
heart attacks.
Oh, so awesome.
Yeah.
So where your heart physically stopped?
Yes, 5 times.
And That is shocking, mostly to your wife, Raphael.
Yeah, it was more shocking to other people.
Yes. You need to write a book, Raphael, about
yes.
Yes, that, about being the caregiver and how to do that in a way that it doesn't use you and take you. But because you've been through that and beyond as well. Raphael's also in studio with us. She's just listening. But Michael, you've been through this concept of shock,
mm-hmm.
and you have recovered in a way that you don't look like a heart patient at
yes.
all. Michael is the picture of health. Your blood results and everything show you as the picture of health, and your vibrance and your energy and your internal change, your internal mm-hmm. consciousness
yes.
is restored.
Absolutely.
Completely.
And it's not easy. I tell people, dying is a breeze. I mean,
yeah, I know.
You just check out, and that's that.
Go in a peaceful place. And
but
you're good.
Coming back, that's the real challenge, and that's the real test. That's the real demonstration of okay, are you for real? Okay, it's you have to be here, being present, and when people talk about showing up, being present right here, right now, that's the same as returning from the dead.
That is a great way to look at it because yeah. most people do not show up.
Yeah, their body's there
mm-hmm.
and they got a glazed look. And, mm-hmm. you know, as Raphael often says, the lights are on but nobody's home.
You have to show up like you just came back from the dead.
Yes.
Everywhere in life.
Yep.
Everywhere in life. And if you don't think you have the energy for that, it's because you're – energy is getting siphoned where you're not doing that.
Yes, and because you're not committed, you're hesitant. And why do we not trust ourselves that we could manage? Because, you know, when you show up, why do we stop showing up? Every little baby shows up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every child shows up until they're at a certain age where they stop showing up more and more and more. What makes us stop showing up is fear. Because we come in and pain and being afraid of this pain, rejection, all kinds of stuff. But we stop showing up because we come in all joy and happiness and laughter, and somebody pulls the belt out and saying, you know, I'll wipe that smirk off of your face
right.
if you don't shut up and sit
right.
down. And so somebody wants to control you, and you're too much for them to handle. So kids are a bundle of energy, and the best of parents tear their hair out because not because the child is bad, but because they have so much more energy than anybody can handle, including themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they're bouncing off the walls and it drives people crazy. But it's a little bit like somebody who's going through a migraine headache, and a really joyful person doesn't know that and comes and opens up all the shutters and says, hey, this is a beautiful, gorgeous, sunny day. Let's let the light in. And they scream bloody murder, turn off the light, close the curtains because they're in so much pain.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's not that the sunlight or any light causes pain. This is the mistranslation. So many incredible people, incredible souls, the brightest souls that come in to be healers, teachers, leaders here get wiped out long before they get there because they're so bright. And when the people start to seemingly turn against them, saying, shut up, sit down, you know, you're not to talk, you're to just sit
yeah.
there, you don't do anything, that kind of stuff, and rejections and all kinds of stuff, they start to feel like something's wrong with them. But it's the exact opposite. It's what they have that a lot of people can't handle.
Mm.
It's putting – they think the light that they're shining is putting them into pain. No, light never puts anybody into pain. Just like the expression, common expression, love hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Love doesn't hurt one iota. But – it's such a powerful healing, light, love, whatever way you want to call it. It's such a powerful healing. It goes deep immediately. So anybody with a great deal of pain they're holding onto is going to surface right away around a person who has a lot of light, who has a lot of love. And that pain that comes out, if the person isn't educated, they think you I was fine until you showed up. And yeah. Because you showed up, now I'm in pain.
My heart's broken.
My heart's broken. I feel awful. I'm depressed. It's your fault. And if you buy that as a healer, as a teacher, as a leader, as a bright person, you buy that, then you go into your shell and go, okay, I better not, contain myself because I'm hurting people.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's exactly what you don't want to do is hurt people. You want to help people, mm-hmm. but everybody reacts to you like you're hurting them.
I was just talking about this the other day, that the brighter the light that you have, the more threatening it is
yes.
to those who are close to you, because it threatens you taking care of them with that bright light.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it threatens their survival.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And what's survival? Your identity.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are spirit that never dies. You can attest to that. Yeah. I can attest to that.
Yeah.
Yes. And so the only thing that dies is the body. But so it's not us that dies. It's the body. So then it's not our survival. What do we mean when I say, you know, I'm afraid for my survival? Like something's going to take me away. Something's going
right.
to stop.
Right.
It's not going to stop. What I'm afraid of is what I identify with as this is who I am,
mm-hmm.
whether it's the body or it's a personality trait or I've met mothers who that is their 100% identity of who they are. That's why they can't let their children be
far
free.
Away. Mm-hmm.
Because if something happens to that child, that person's entire 100% of who they are gone.
Yikes, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's worse than death.
True.
Yeah.
Like you were describing at the beginning of the show.
Yeah. And so this is a time that each and every one of us has to look at, okay, what are we holding on to as this is who I am, and I'm a Republican, or I'm a Democrat, or I'm an independent, or I'm a whatever. It doesn't matter. This is what we have to look at and go, okay, yes, I'm in a masculine body instead of a feminine body,
mm-hmm.
or I have this type of a preference in religion or politics or whatever, but that's not who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody spits at, you know, what I believe in or whatever, that's not going to kill me. That's not going to get rid of me. That's
true.
Just – yeah, it's like
the essence of you.
Yeah, it's like clothing. You know, if we're working, we have work clothes. We expect it to be dirty at least the end of the day,
mm-hmm.
because we're working. You know, if we're working in the fields or whatever, it's going to be dirty. And what do? We wash it and put it on again some other day.
Restore it the next day. So
yeah.
The theme here of this show is really about change and how quickly you can move through change
yes.
and change really your state.
Yeah.
You never change who you are, though.
No.
This weekend, the 3rd and 4th, Saturday and Sunday, Michael Tamora is going to be in Thousand Oaks, and he's doing a 2-day seminar weekend for everyone. This is the Saturday. You can go to one day if you are busy this weekend, but going to two. If you go to the first day, you'll go to the second day. The Saturday's topic is from your greatest desire to your greatest gift. Tell me what that's about.
Well, it's going to be about transforming your human lack, what you might consider or experience as your human. I'm only human, right?
Yeah.
So any kind of human limitations, human lack, into divine abundance. It's
cool.
It is a transformational process. It's healing yourself, and I'll teach psychic tools that anybody can use on a daily basis to, like you said, kind of redirect your attention to what brings about abundance in your life, good health and success and all of those kinds of things in your life. That all comes from that which never changes, you really are.
I want to mention, people are asking, if you go to the website, which is michaeltamura.com, go under events, and then you'll see in December, this weekend, the December 3rd and 4th, it's in Thousand Oaks at the
Best Western Plus.
Best Western in Plus
Oaks.
Okay, Best Western Plus Thousand Oaks Inn. And that's right here. And it's on T.O. Boulevard, Thousand Oaks Boulevard. And if you you can go there, and it is the third and the fourth. So it's transforming. So now if you transform from your greatest desire, which is outside of yourself, to your greatest gift, which is inside of yourself, then you're tapping into the miracle space, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where the magic is.
And all desire is always from lack.
Mm-hmm.
We never want anything that we have.
Yeah.
We only want something we don't have that we think we need or, you know, like.
Yes. Yes. That is very true. We're also going to take your phone numbers, 818-985-KPFK, 818-985-5735. And if you have a question for Michael Tamora, a spiritual teacher and incredible guide for me in my life, he's also here to take your calls. If you have questions about trusting your intuition or manifestation, or if change is difficult for you at this particular time, give us a call and Michael can talk you through it in a way that takes you back to your own divine greatest gift. So we're taking your calls here, 818-985-KPFK. Now, this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, the December 3rd and 4th, Michael will be here. He's going to be doing a two-day seminar weekend in Thousand Oaks at the Best Western Thousand Oaks, Best Western Inn. And it's on Thousand Oaks Boulevard, 75 West Thousand Oaks Boulevard. You can go to the website, which is michaeltamura.com, T-A-M-U-R-A.com. It's 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. each day. And you can pay at the door if you have if you can do that. Now, the second day is to err is human, to forgive divine. Tell me about that one.
Yes, that's a quote from Alexander Pope, and and I thought that would be appropriate for teaching about the keys to both your spiritual advancement as well as worldly success, because people tend to divide those things up.
Okay. So they're the key to both your spiritual advance. Okay, worldly success. What is worldly success?
Practical, everyday kinds of things in the world. You know, a lot of times a spiritual seeker gets so involved in, okay, spirituality is only within. So they sit, they become a spiritual couch potato.
Yeah.
And then they go, I don't have any money. I can't afford anything.
Yeah.
And which in this day and age, that severely affects one's ability to grow spiritually because they can't learn if they don't have some money or some kind of resources, get around. Even if it's a free class, they can't get there because they have no transportation, whatever. And it doesn't pay to be a starving spiritual seeker. Starving doesn't help you that
help
much.
Others. It doesn't help you help others.
Yeah. And so so you do have to take care of yourself on a physical level. And how do you have both? Not get swallowed up in your day-to-day worldly chores, even if it's not about big success or anything like that. How do you take care of,
like, a job? And
yeah,
things like
a
that.
Job, yeah. Having a roof over your head,
yeah,
you know,
school.
Having a decent physical life in this world, because how you live is part of your spiritual advancement. You won't see spiritual masters, people who are very advanced in their spiritual development, living really shabby lives unless they choose to be, you know, completely away from all worldly stuff. They just barely have a clothes they put on, and they are in meditation most of the time. And
it's a lifestyle choice.
Yeah, it's a lifestyle choice, but they're not bound to it because of poverty and, you know, not being able to have anything. And you start to find out, the further along you get in on your spiritual path, you start to look at your life and you go, you know, every moment of every day of my life has been taken care of.
Yes.
no matter what happens.
When we look back, that is definitely the case.
Yeah.
Always.
So why are we afraid that tomorrow it's not going to happen
right,
all of a sudden?
Right.
It's a silly thing.
It's such a lesson. All right, let's go to the phones. I think that's Lee in Los Angeles. I can't see. Okay. Does that say Lee? Sorry, I got to get that phone board closer to me. Anyway, how do you go to line three? My eyesight must have changed. Is that Key? Hi.
Yes. Namaste.
Sorry. Namaste. What is your question for Michael Tamora?
Michael, I know this is going to be a whopper for you, but
I like whoppers.
I've been praying, I've been chanting,
mm-hmm.
and I'm basically alone.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone that I know is like a psychic vampire.
Yes.
I used to be a therapist, uh-huh. and I gave up because I just couldn't do it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So now it's like my real biological family. My dad died. My mother is trying to find out what money he has.
Mm-hmm.
She's hiding the fact that she has cancer.
Yes.
As you say, squamous carcinoma.
Yes. So what is your question?
Well, my question is when you're alone
mm-hmm.
and you don't have nobody, and I'm asking every day for infinite spirit or supreme being to help
yes.
me, I don't know what to do anymore. Usually I'm the one that has all the answers, and now I'm stuck.
Yep. And this is a major key. Can I talk? Hello?
There you go.
Yeah.
Yes. What I see with you is you're on the right track. You're asking, but you're looking for something beyond what is being given to you. See, the answers that you're getting back is just your next step. But you're looking for the total package first before you take your next step. And that's not going to cut it for you. And so what you have to listen, the asking part is fine, but what you have to spend a little time is to listen and kind of look within and go, okay, what's the next step? Don't worry about 10 steps from now. And the next step could be the most simplest thing that you discount because it's too simple. You know, it could be sometimes when I'm in a place where I'm really stumped, you know, I'm up against a wall, and I've been through some, like Lisa was mentioning. And when I ask, I don't get, usually it's not like, here's the next 10 years of your life, or this is all the things you have to do. No, it's, turn left over here. If I'm walking or driving or something, and okay, I wasn't planning to turn left, but I get turned left, so I turn left. And once I turn left, then now what? Keep going straight. Stop here. It's like that. A lot of times, especially the more desperate you are or the bigger a wall that you're bumping into, the first several steps toward your real answer are going to be very, very simple because spirit never lies. Spirit knows everything. It's going to give you it's better than any GPS, you know, all GPSs, they give you the best route according to if you want to go get there fastest or if you want to get there at the shortest route. But this is better than any GPS that could ever be invented because it takes every little thing in your life and who you are into consideration to give you the next step. And if you could just trust that and take that next step, even if it doesn't seem like anything, you do it. Then you'll get the next step and then the next step. There's been times where I'm in a public place and there's thousands of people, like an airport or something, and all of a sudden I look up and I'm seeing this particular person. I'll give you one example. I was waiting for my baggage and this particular young woman was waiting for her baggage and there's hundreds of people. I need to talk to her, but I don't know who she is. And what do I talk to? If I go up there, what do I say? Well, I always know if you're, especially with a stranger, you could say hello, right? That's the first thing. So I walk up, I say hello. And once I say hello, all of a sudden I see this the spirit of her son, and he's back in his home and really desperate. So I just go up to her. I didn't even introduce myself or my name or anything. I said, "Do you have a son like about 10, 12 years old?" And she said, "Yes, 10 years old." And I said, "Where is he?" And she goes, "In Japan." And this person was not Japanese. And I said, "Oh, well, he needs to get out of Japan."
Gosh.
And she starts crying.
Oh.
And she says, "I know. I talked to him this morning. I travel all the time. His father travels in other parts of the world too. And I'm on my way back. But he said to me, 'Mommy, if you don't take me out of this country soon, I don't think I'm going to make it.'" Mm. So she was very, very interested in what I was saying. Not once did she ask me, "Who the hell are you?" Mm-hmm. Or, "Why are you telling me? How do you know this about my child?" Nothing. No questions. It's just she listened. We talked. And the whole thing lasted about 5 minutes. Her bags came. My bags came. We said goodbye. And I gave her our office email. So I said, "Let me know what happens." 3 weeks later, I get an email from her, and she's like a new person. She's going, "I'm writing to you from London, where I moved my family." And they were living in Tokyo. And she says, "Now I'm only gone once a month to Japan to do my other work. And so most of the time I can stay home with him." And so, and I said, how's your son? She says, "He's like a new kid. It's a new person." And that's because I just followed, okay, go talk to this person, even if I had no clue what the deal was.
One step at a time.
One step at a time.
That is great advice for all of us. And thank you for calling and asking that question, because it enabled Michael to get into a piece that we all could use. So thank you so much, Key. I appreciate your phone call today.
Thank you.
That is a huge piece that we can all use. One step at a time.
Yep.
It gets so complicated with all the story and trying to figure out this step and that and what could happen.
Yes.
Most of our pain comes from what could happen.
Yeah, and that's all thinking, intellectual,
mm-hmm.
intellectualizing, and intuition. You have to go beyond that. Just drop all that thinking and, like you said, the story part, and just go, okay, next step.
One of the biggest spiritual lessons that I have had to learn over and over and over again is the simplest lesson that we hear all the time in the metaphysical world, is to see things how they can be, not how they are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the law of attraction. It's repurposed into the whole conversation of, you know, you put your attention on, energy, where your attention goes, energy flows. We hear it in so many different ways.
Yes.
But if we can see what's possible,
mm-hmm.
then we will get our focus on off of what is painful onto what is possible.
Yes.
That's the key step.
And people think when they hear about, you know, what's possible, they think, oh, that's fantasizing or you're making things up. No, because what's possible is the miracle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? In spirit, anything and everything is possible in limitlessness. Mm-hmm. If people don't like the term spirit, you can drop spirit. You can just look at what is eternal and limitless. Truth is eternal and limitless. And so if you look to the truth, it's eternal and limitless. So any possibility is a possibility. Mm-hmm. And then from there, you can go, this is where I would like to go. Okay? This is where I would like to go, in the sense of, this is the experience I am willing to commit to. This mm-hmm. is the experience I'd like to have. Because people think things are out there in the world and things happen to them and people do things to them and people do things to the world and it affects them. Well, when you really look at it, what you're happy or unhappy about is what? What you experience. Yes, somebody might do something out there, but it's your experience that you're happy or unhappy about, mm-hmm. not somebody else's. So two of us could be sitting in the same spot and witness the exact same situation in the world. One of us is delighted and happy and, oh, this is really great. And the other person is depressed and angry and hating it
yeah.
every moment.
Mm-hmm.
What are we going through? It's all reactions and decisions we make about what we're experiencing within. So if I see something out there that I don't like, something out there that's not correct for my truth, it's just not correct, then instead of launching out there to do something, first thing I assess is, oh, okay, what am I experiencing? And I notice, oh, I'm experiencing this incredible anger. Or I want to go strangle that person or mm-hmm. shut that person up or whatever. That's just an emotional reaction I'm experiencing. Reactions are like little, you know, you push a button and something happens. But that doesn't mean you have to become it and you have to dramatize it and you have to right. base your life on it and how you're going to live your life on that reaction. Mm. So I just let it go and go, like you said, instead of staring at that anger and yeah. fuming, I'm going to go, what would I like to experience? I'd like to experience peace.
And it just takes the next step.
That's the next step.
And the next step. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can go to the highest of high gurus in whatever country, and they're going to take you back to the very simplest form of what is the most simple thing. You see this all the time where the guru sits and laughs. Because it's just taking you back to the simplest thing. I think that's one of the biggest things I got out of speaking with you today, is to get from where you are to where you want to be begins with the first step.
Yes. And spirit works that way, and that's why the greatest gurus or masters or whatever work the same way, because if the person that's asking the question or having the problem isn't willing to take the next step, no other steps after that's
right.
going to amount to anything.
So true. And then we just look at what catastrophe could happen when yep. we don't take that first step.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you take the first step, you don't know what the second step and the third
exactly.
step and the
that's
first step
is. That's been my life. I
mm-hmm.
99% of the time,
mine too.
I don't know what any of the steps are after the first step. But every time I take that first step, I know what the next step is.
Ah, yeah, that makes sense to me. All right, so we ran out of time for phone calls. I know, I'm bummed. But if you look at the website, which is MichaelTamura.com, if you go under events, you can look under December. This weekend, the 3rd and 4th, you can go to the Thousand Oaks two-day seminar. There's also live stream calls that are available. You guys have a lot going on, so just check out the rest of the month. There's teleclasses if you don't want to take a trip or if you're listening from another state. So you can check all of that out there. Thanks so much. And thank you so much, Michael, for being on.
Thank you. It was always a blast.
Always
to be
a
with
blast.
You.
And thank you, Raphael, for sitting and holding the space.
Yay.
And until next time, I invite you to stay aware.